Hi, everyone, and welcome to Casinos USA's podcast number 36. Finally, a royal flush. We'll be talking about the Belterra Casino Resort high water issues. We'll be talking about our Rocky Gap room offer, a sweet one. We'll be talking about our April trip to Mohegan Sun and Foxwood. We're going to also give you some low roll crap plays for those of you who are low rollers like we are. We're going to talk to you about the strategy and the interest in the growing interest in bubble crabs. All this is coming your way right here at Casinos USA, a place where every day is Saturday. We'll be right back. Well, our podcast is airing on March 8th, 2018, but boy, oh boy, some of these winter weather problems just won't go away. And let's start with Southern Indiana and the problems at the Belterra Casino Resort. Oh man, were we nervous about this? And we had good reason. Our Casino USA members, Jerry and Elaine, were coming back from Nashville. And that's why I gave you that country strumming guitar. And, you know, coming back from Nashville, I don't know, there's a couple ways to get to Pittsburgh. And I was encouraging them to, hey, why don't you, this be a good time to come back 71 North and you could, stop at Belterra. And Elaine texted me back. That was a good idea. And they made reservations. And I was like following them with some interest, you know, texting how you do with friends. And they're, of course, on the road. And wouldn't you know it, Elaine texted they were about 20 minutes away. And they catch an email. And I caught the same one, too, because we both are connected to the casino. And they said the casino is closed because of high water problems on the Ohio River. Of course, the Belterra is a riverboat casino resort. The hotel is open. That was fine. It's a beautiful hotel. A great sports bar, an unbelievable buffet, just high quality rooms. But the casino was closed. And I thought, oh my goodness, I was so upset. And I was thinking, goodness gracious, they're not going to ever listen to anything I ever say advice wise again. But it turned out that when they did check in, it was around a little bit after 4 o'clock. The registration people told them that they were going to make every attempt to open the casino at 6:30. And I guess they did because the next day, Elaine and Jerry got a hold of me on Messenger and said that they actually did win some money. They enjoyed their stay and they'd be willing to go back. So, but, you know, I want to say the Southern Indiana riverboats, we've been there before when there's been high water. And they make, you know, every attempt to stay open. But ultimately, it comes down to safety, and not that these boats would go over a dam or anything, but what would happen is they would get hung up. You know, they'd get pushed to the shore and such, and people couldn't get off, and you understand the situation that they'd be in. So they're moored, like, you know, unbelievably tight. They don't go out anymore. They used to years ago would leave the moorings and docks and go, but now they're moored. They're floating. That's where the casino is, but it's still something they don't do. In fact, they no longer have a captain and a mate on board, you know, to steer and start the ship and all that. It's just, you know, they gave that up. And those were nice jobs before. when they finally did moor them, you know, a decade ago, they still kept those positions. I don't know what those guys or women did to stay awake, but, you know, the boat didn't move. But anyway, they do have to be concerned about passenger, client, customer safety. But they did get it back open despite the high water, and it must have passed muster with the authorities there, and they did let people play in the casino. So I'll get the details talk about it in the future, but Elaine and Jerry, I'm glad you enjoyed the Belterra Casino Resort in Southern Indiana. Oh boy, I was so happy to hear that. To those of you who are considering going to the Belterra, or those of you who have been there, I've said in a podcast that the Belterra lobby bar, which is right across the hallway from the registration area, is the nicest, finest lobby bar in the United States. And I'll take that against the Cosmopolitan in Las Vegas, the Bellagio, the Wynn, the Encore. I'm telling you, this casino hotel, which is not the riverboat, you know, it's built on land, This lobby bar is fantastic. And on weekends, they have free entertainment, and they have several sofas and lazy, you know, style, lazy boy style chairs, and they have a beautiful, beautiful bar. They also have a patio that opens up in the warmer months from the bar. It's just unbelievable. You can have so much fun at that lobby bar. And of course, as people walk by, and especially children, they'll sometimes dance in the hallway. And Janie and I just enjoyed it so much there. And speaking of dance, people get up and dance. There's that much room in the lobby bar because some of these groups are just fantastic. You wouldn't expect that kind of a quality, but you know they are. And a lot of them are performers in the Cincinnati area, and they come down to Florence, Indiana, and these riverboats. And you know, it's a part-time job for them, and they do fine, and they enjoy it. They're having a lot of fun, and it's all kind of styles of music. It's country music. It's jazz. You know, it's hip hop. It's rock. It's just, you know, every weekend they have different people there, and they're all fantastic. Sometimes they'll have different groups on the same night. It's pretty amazing. The other thing about a riverboat, and this happened one time, and Jenny and I have been there so many times, but if you jump off a riverboat just for the joy of it, you know, in the case I'm referring to, a buddy bet his friend $100 that he could jump off the top of the riverboat, and he did. Well, of course, security... security pulled him in, and I read in the paper, we were there a couple of days, it was in the summer, I read in the paper, the local paper, that the fine in the state of Indiana for jumping off a riverboat when it's moored is $500. He might have won $100 from his bail, but he lost $400. So I'm going to say, try to avoid that, you know, jumping off the top of a riverboat. And no one can say for any certainty that, you know, you're going to survive that. You hit your head and maybe you're not coming up. So it's very dangerous. Of course, you know, I told it in a funny way, and it was funny because nobody was actually hurt. But be careful and don't do it. Okay, let's turn our attention to the state of Maryland and the Rocky Gap Casino Resort in Flintstone, Maryland. This is Western Maryland, right? And there's a room offer we'll be talking about. We'll come right back, and wait till you hear this one. Okay, here it is. Now and until March 31st, 2018, you can reserve a standard room at the Rocky Gap Casino Resort in Rocky Gap State Park in Flintstone, Maryland. This is a standard room Sunday through Thursday, for $99, and receive $99 back in free slot play. So you spend $99 to book the room, you get $99 back. Okay, they still hit you with fees and taxes, and there might be some other restrictions that apply. Of course, you're going to know that when you call. Their reservation is 301-784-8400. That's 301-784-8400. And the promo code is STAYPLAY. You can also do that online at the Rocky Gap Casino Resort. Online. Just go online and find them. And remember it one more time. The promo code is STAYPLAY, written as one word. What a great deal. I like the idea. You know, you pay for the room, you get that same amount back in free play. Awesome. And they're really nice rooms, too. I hate to keep saying this. We've been there many times, but they're beautiful rooms. And it's one of the most scenic, idyllic venues anywhere in the country. It's on a fresh, clean country lake. There's a Jack Nicklaus golf course there, an indoor pool, heated indoor pool. A workout area, three restaurants, and a cute casino. Really nice. Non-smoking. It's awesome. So give it a check. If you want an excuse to go, take advantage of this great deal. Okay, we're going to move on one more time. I wanted to talk to our low-rolling craps-playing friends. The game of craps. Oh, my. So many ways to bet. So many ways to play. But, you know, one of the things I do like about craps, it's not determined by a computer chip. It's determined by rolling the dice. And I think that makes it a little different, you know. So that's one of the appeals to me. It's also a game that you're encouraged to talk and yell and cheer and, you know, support one another. No one's going to hush you at a craps table unless you're using profanity or threatening somebody. But it's all part of it. You can have a lot of fun with, it's a very social game with a group of friends, even a group of strangers. I've had fun, you know, enjoying the game with them. But this is how it would work. You know, we've talked about inside 22, and we're talking about the point number. So in craps, from left to right, looking at the board, the point numbers are 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, and 10. And at a $5 table, the minimum bets on the 5 would be $5. The 6 and 8 are $6. And if you hit one of those, you get $7. And the 9 is $5. If a 5 and 9 hits, you also get $7. There's more ways to make a 6 and 8 than a 5 and 9. So you could say maybe, you know, the professional, if there are such people, you know, that veteran craps players consider 6 and 8 the best numbers to play. But sometimes in a short term, 5 and 9's kind of on the table too. So the way this works is, you go inside 22, and if you get a hit, instead of collecting the money, what you do is you press the 6 or the 8. So let's say you get $7 from the dice roll of 5. So you won $7. So you take down the 5, that $5 comes back to you, and you press one unit, that's $6, on the 6. So now you have a $12 bet on the 6. And so if the 9 would hit the next roll, you would take the 9 place bet down. You just say, take me down, and press the 8 one unit. So you get, you know, without using money that you didn't win, all of a sudden you got two $12 bets on the table, one on the 6 and one on the 8. And the next thing then is if you hit that, you'd win $14. So let's just say the next roll is a 6. So you win $14. So you take that place bet down, and so you're kind of insuring your profit, and you press the other number, in this case would be the 8, one unit. So now you have an $18 bet. That's the only bet you have on the table. And it all started with a $22 inside numbers. Now you can also just do it by betting the 5 and 9, and then if it hits, you know, you have a $7 win, take the 5 or 9, whatever number hit down, and then put that money on the 6, because you'd have $12. You'd have $5 on your original place bet on the 5 or the 9, and then you would win 7, so you would take that money, the 7 and 5, and say, okay, give me a $12 6 or a $12 8. And you do it's the same thing. So instead of risking $22, you're risking 10, but it's the same idea. I've done both things, and then usually what happens to me, the 5 and 9 start to hit, and I don't have anything on it, you know? But no, seriously, if that's a really low-roll scheme, a way to build up the 6 and 8 without taking money out of your pocket. You're using the proceeds you're winning on the table. So that's our craps low-roller tip of the day, and then we're going to turn our attention to bubble craps. Yeah, bubble craps. Might say some controversial things here, but let's take a short break. I'll catch my breath and we'll come right back and you can get into it with me. Yeah, you can. Okay, I'm ready. Here we go. Here comes our break. So we're referring to bubble craps as a shoot to win game. It's a round table. It's a big table and it has the center of the table, a large glass shield, plastic shield, and two oversized dice. And I'm talking about, I don't know, the third of a side of a basketball, red dice. And the bottom of the glass or plastic tube is, say, like the top of a drum. And it goes down and boom, it shoots the dice up in the air. And, you know, they might hit the side of the glass or the top of it and they come down and fall. And that's the roll. Now, each player is seated, and they have a screen in front of them. And it's the game of craps by the rules, but of course it's not played at a craps table. It's played at a shoot to win. And so I think the first thing we can say is that really craps? Well, let me ask you a question. And, you know, no offense. In California, they play card craps. That's not really craps. You roll dice, and then a card is turned over? I mean, so if you want to be closer to the essence of craps, to me, a bubble cap craps machine is closer to what real table craps is than card craps. I don't want to offend anyone. That's just how I feel. Can you make every bet on that screen that you can make at a craps table? I'm going to say almost. The Shoot the Wins that I've played don't have any hot bets on them. But let me tell you something. There are also casino crap tables where they don't have hot bets. They just don't have them. And, you know, it depends on the state. It depends on the state of mind sometimes of the casino people. So, you can't say that, well, I can't make a hot bet on the hard numbers, or I can't, you know, hop a six for the next roll. Those are one roll bets. Because in other venues, you know, at a regular craps table, you can't do it either. So that all depends. So that's not a takeaway that burns me with that. You can make all the other bets. Basically, you can lay numbers, you can play the known side, you can play the hard ways. And the other thing that's very notable about bubble craps is, like, what's the minimum bet, you know, for the pass line or the dome pass line? That's what it is. Well, in most casinos in Las Vegas, it's going to be at least $10. Now, sometimes early morning, or not sometimes early morning, sometimes early afternoon. I mean, it's no hard and fast rule. There aren't enough players at the craps tables. Sometimes you have craps crews standing around. And so they'll say, we're going to make this a $5 table for the next hour, you know. So, but that's hard to find. You know, you'd have better chance finding Fremont $5 tables on Fremont Street than you would on the Strip. But I played at a $5 table in February at the Excalibur. So, I mean, and that's, of course, an M Life property on the Strip. And that was early afternoon, you know, 1 o'clock, 1:30, something like that. And at some bubble crafts machine, the minimum bet on that pass line or dome pass line is $3. And the only place I know where there's a real craps table in Las Vegas that's a $3 table for pass line is Fremont on Fremont Street. That's a Boyd Casino. And I don't know if that's true 24/7. They do sometimes have $3 craps tables there, but, you know, I can't guarantee you that they always have them. And if they do always have them and it's one table, you know, chances are you're not going to get into it. So you're going to play at a $5 table or a $10 table or a $15 table. And that can be a big issue, you know, so let's not beat around the bush about this. You know, again, a lot of times when people go to a craps table, they don't have the resources to lose $500, you know. So they're looking for a bargain. And what Bubble Craps does is it gives you a game that's not controlled by a computer chip. And please don't say it is. There's no magnets in these dice. You know, this is freewheeling. Yeah, the dice might be as half the size of a loaf of bread, but they're still dice, and they're marked the way craps dice are marked. And, you know, the voice on the screen will say, press the button, and then the bottom of the tube starts to vibrate. And can you set them? No, they're bouncing around, but I always look for a six to come up on one side. That's my bubble crab set. If I see a six and four, bang, I'm going to hit that button. And you have 20 seconds to make a decision to hit the button if you're the shooter. And then, boom, a thing pops up. But if you don't do it, if you just sit there, it just goes off itself after 20 seconds. So the reason I mention that, if you go to a bubble crafts machine and you're more concerned about placing your bets rather than hitting that button because you're there by yourself and you're just going to be bothered, let the machine just pop them, you know. Just pop them and they'll go. Is there any particular strategy? Well, I think there might be. If you play the pass line and the dome pass line at the same time, you're not going to lose, and that's probably a good way to play it if you're thinking about just going after the craps numbers, you know, the 30-1, 12, the 30-1, snake eyes, the 15-1, 3, the 15-1, 11. I mean, you have some options on the prop bets, and those prop bets are, you know, one roll bets. And, you know, you get a couple craps numbers in a row and you're talking about real money real fast. And you can just play it straight up too. You can play like I was talking about earlier. You can play place a number, and some machines they're dollar minimums. You know, Tropicana has a dollar minimum. Excalibur, I think it was a dollar minimum to Excalibur. Maybe it was $2, but you can place a number for that minimum if it's $1 or $2. So you can play inside 22 for $8, you know, or for $4 if it's a $1 machine. So there's some options there. And you could get a hit, and it doesn't matter. Like, it'll even pay off with the proper sense. So you don't have to worry about, like, I've got to put a certain amount of money on the 6, rather more money than on the 4, 5, 9, or 10. You don't have to worry about that. You can also play odds behind the pass line. And people will say, well, it's not a social. Well, it can be social, you know. I've been at Bubble Crafts machines, and the reason I'm at a Bubble Crafts machine is I'm tired standing. I had a couple accidents in my youth being a motorcycle racer. And those are days of yore. No sense talking about that. But yeah, I love that BSA. But the point is, I have a herniated disc. And so I can't stand. Like, I can't stand 3 hours. And so, you know, I might stand an hour and a half at a craps table and then go to a real comfortable seat. You also get, you know, the drinking service there. If it's in Las Vegas, you know, whether it's Diet Coke or Coke or, you know, Bud Light, whatever. So you're not going to get cheated that way. Like, I actually think you get them more sometimes at a Bubble Crafts machine. Sometimes people don't want to talk at the other stations. They're concentrating. But sometimes people do. And remember, you don't have to, because the machine's going to keep going, you don't have to participate. You know, you can say, play $4, you know, a dollar on the $5, on a $6, on the $8, on a $9, and then that rolls over, you know, and you didn't win, you didn't lose. You could just take them down and just sit there and, you know, take a couple rolls off. It's not a big issue, you know. You're not creating a problem for anyone. Nobody actually knows how you're even betting. They can't see the screen. It might take you, I don't know, a minute or two to get the handle on how to make a bet, but believe me, it's almost like it's intuitive. You know that term they use. You know, it's kind of common sense, and you'll get that pretty quick. I think another time Bubble Craps is nice, and this is becoming increasingly common. You know, if you're an early riser like I am, and I'm talking early riser, and I'm usually out of the hotel room and down at the casino floor early in the morning, probably chasing Starbucks. Starbucks coffee, to be honest with you. But a lot of times the craps tables aren't open, not any of them. And so, you know, I came down to play craps and they're not open. Now, the casino, they're going to tell you, well, there aren't enough craps players, you know, at 6:30 in the morning to keep it open because I need 2 stick men. These aren't half tables. I need a dealer, you know, 2 dealers and a stick man, and you got 4 people involved, and they're paying this hourly wage, and they don't want to do it because there's not enough players. Sometimes there's no players, and you'll just see a craps crew once sometimes standing. Sometimes you'll see 2 tables that are open standing, and you don't want to be the only player at the table. You know, it's not that the table isn't open; it's open, but you don't want to be the only player. So that's when I head over to Bubble Craps and enjoy that. You know, have my Starbucks. put $20 in and then go back to Starbucks and take, by that time, I'm assuming my wife's up, and I'll greet her as she comes out of the shower with her favorite Starbucks brew. So Bubble Craps is not the digital interblock game that we played in Maryland, where there's a much shorter table and you roll dice, and then it's almost like an arena thing where there's several people betting, either with the shooter or against the shooter, same kind of thing, but there's actually a shooter that, you know, it's actually throwing dice, and you can participate as a shooter or not when it's your turn. Usually there's 2 people running that table. Bubble Craps is like a self-contained unit, and I would say give it a try, and, you know, hey, stick $5 in it, and, you know, just play the dome pass, and you'll probably sit there for half an hour. And you'll get the handle on how the thing works, all right? But I think it's a good thing because it gives people who are a little bit leery about going to a regulation craps table, a chance to play the game of craps, you know, in this different way. And the other thing is that might encourage them at some point once they get the craps protocol down, you know, how to go to a table, how to get chips, you know, understanding what bets you pick up, what bets you don't, etc. Because there's a lot to learn. So the bubble craps takes that fear away. And I would suggest you give it a try. And of course, it's cool if you're sitting with, you know, a spouse or significant other or buddy or two. And that's all right, too. But it's well worth it. And I can see a continuation of the bubble craps fad. It might be coming to a casino near you, so be forewarned. All right, in our final portion of our episode today, we're going to talk about something that my wife experienced at recently at the Rocky Gap Casino Resort. You know, she came from a family of card players, and they grew up playing card games, and I would have to say she's a better poker player than I am, and she likes slot machines more than craps tables, and she always will spend some time at a video poker machine, and she likes all the games on those video poker. She's an Anthony Curtis disciple, and he's considered to be, you know, a strong writer. His newsletter on the best video poker machines in Las Vegas, and he also is a friend of Bob Dancer, who's a video poker guru. Some people say you can actually beat the house odds with perfect strategy, and the Frugal Gambler, Gene Scott, is another one, and that she reads. And so anyway, she has been pursuing the elusive Royal Flush. That's a straight starting with a 10, all in the same suit, you know, through Jack, Queen, King, Ace, all in the same suit. That's the Royal Flush. That's the highest hand in poker. And it's the highest hand in video poker. And she's been playing, she said, at least 15 years, and she never does hit a Royal Flush. I've never hit one. And in February, I mentioned we were out there for Valentine's Day week. She loves Ellis Island, and she thinks the slots are great there. And she had an unbelievable day on a video poker machine. I told her it was radioactive. The thing was melting. I mean, she just won almost every hand for an hour and a half, 2 hours maybe. Won a considerable amount of money, but she had several four of a kinds and straights and flushes, but no Royal Flush. So at Rocky Gap, and she likes to play at a quarter machine, but she likes to play maximum, so that's a dollar quarter bet. She needs a 10 of diamonds and a jack of diamonds. No, excuse me, a queen of diamonds. And, you know, so she just throws two cards away and thinking, you know, maybe I'll get a pair. Bang! Suddenly, there they are. She's staring at it. She said, like, she doesn't react. And she sees these big words across the screen, you know, Royal Flush. What a feeling. And I was at a craps table, and she stayed there a little bit longer, and, you know, she came over, and she said, "How you doing?" And I said, "Hey." She doesn't like to bother me or talk too much. I stepped away from the craps table so we could talk, and I said, "You know what? I'm pretty happy right now. I'm like $55, $60 up, and, you know, if I get to 100, I'm gonna, you know, join you somewhere at a machine or whatever you're doing." And she laughed and she said, "Well, I'll be paying for dinner." And I said, "Okay, that's cool." I said, why? And she said, "Because I just hit a Royal Flush." So, you know, it's one of those, it was almost like a nonchalant thing. And she's very humble about it. Like, she doesn't consider it a skill or anything, but she, I guess she gets the award for, like, sticking to it, you know? Looking like Moby Dick, you know? Herman Melville, you know, looking for that great white whale, looking for that Royal Flush. You know, it's in that machine, and doggone it, someday I'm going to let it come out. And she did. And, you know, it is. If you're a video poker player, you can understand. We put it on our Facebook account. That's Casinos USA, our group. Consider joining that. You'll see a lot of pictures of bubble craps and things, all the things that we talk about, all the casinos we go to. You also can follow us on Twitter. It's Casinos USA 2017. Casinos USA 2017. We also have a webpage. That's www.casinosusa.bet. Casinos USA, written as one word there, .bet, B-E-T. Those are all the things that we do. But if you're a video poker player, you can sense that feeling that she had and just like made the whole stay. You know, it was just a one-day stay. And we were coming back. And she had taken some time off in February from her job. She's a gold buyer and diamond buyer and, you know, et cetera. She's very knowledgeable with coins as well, and a lot more knowledgeable than I am on all those subjects. But she took some time off, and so now she's not available for the podcast because she's working, you know, playing catch up, and other people are taking time off too. So that's what they do. They share the load there. And she's having a lot of fun with that, and she doesn't have time for the podcast this time, but I'll get her to mention it. That feeling, but the boy was a great feeling to see her hit that royal flush. Finally, a royal flush. And I think she's eager to do it again, you know? And I was telling a friend this story. He's also a gambler, and he said that he didn't tell me where he was. He's from San Diego, but he said that he actually saw a lady hit a royal flush and kept playing. And 5-10 rolls later, he said she hit another one. You know, 5-10 more games, and she said that she hit another one. And he said it was a $2 machine, so it was a ton of money. So I got doggone it. You know, I just got to get these things to happen. I want to talk one more time about something that happened at the Borgata in 2009. I mentioned this before. I want to make sure that you understand that we think you can set dice and it creates a tendency. We do not believe that setting dice, like for an example, two fives, two threes in the shape of a V, a six with an inverted six, you know, 1 6 going one way, 1 6 going the other way. We think that all those sets create tendencies, but we do not believe that if you're throwing the dice legally, you're not sliding them, you're throwing them legally, and they hit the back wall, which is a requirement. Sometimes a casino lets one roll go by, that you cannot control them. But by setting a dice a certain way, it's likely that these numbers will show. That's what we think. We believe in dice tendencies. But there are people, we think, who are sort of scamming people, and they believe in dice setting schools where they're going to teach you how to throw, etc. And the story that what happened at the Borgata in 2009 more or less takes care of that issue, because it demonstrates what can happen just randomly when someone picks up dice. So let me just give you a chance to think about that. Come right back and tell the story of the longest documented, there's a key word, dice roll in American casino history, 2009 in Atlantic City at the Borgata. Documented dice roll. We'll be right back. This information is taken from a Time magazine website, but I've read it many places. It was May 23rd in 2009. A woman called Patricia DeMauro, D-E-M-A-U-R-O, a New Jersey grandmother. She beat the great odds, like 1.56 trillion of this happening. She just went into the game for $100. It was only the second time she had been at a craps table. And she happened to be at the Atlantic City's Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa. And her dice roll lasted, are you ready for this? 154 rolls, and she didn't throw a seven when a point was made, maybe on a come out, but her dice roll lasted 4 hours and 18 minutes, and that has broken all the records for the longest craps roll and the most successive dice rolls without sevening out once a point was made. And according to the article, Stanford University statistics professor, this man's name is Thomas Cover, figured that the chances of that happening are smaller than getting struck by lightning, being hit by an errant ball at a baseball game, or winning the lottery. So how did it happen? Who knows? Just picked them up and threw them. So, you know, imagine if she had been claiming all along that she knew how to set dice and control dice, which we say can't happen. Can you imagine the other people at that table? She wasn't a big bettor, but people guessed that she won several hundred thousand dollars. She'd never really tell people how much she won, and the regatta doesn't have to. But they say few of the people at the table may have won as much as a million because they were more established in press numbers and did those kind of things. But that's a fact. This grandmother, and, you know, I'm a grandfather, so no offense, man. She has the record, and she did not set dice or claim to control dice. That's the great part of the craps, just the greatest part of craps. Hey, we really enjoyed talking to you this time in our 36th episode. We continue to grow. We're in revenue sharing. I ask you to consider joining our Facebook group if you want to see pictures of the things that we talk about. And we post almost every day. And we have a subscription to a Las Vegas newspaper, and we put on their information, you know, because there's so many people involved with going to Las Vegas and gambling in Las Vegas. But we are going to stay true to our mission statement. We go to casinos coast to coast, east and west, north and south. And our next big trip will be at casinos, I'm sure, before then. But our next big trip will be April 20th. Four of us are going from Pittsburgh up into Connecticut into a tribal casino called Mohegan Sun. And we're staying about a mile away at a Hotel Hyatt. We love the Hyatt. We have an association with them. It was much less expensive for us to stay there. They have a 24-hour shuttle on weekends, so it's not a big deal. 1 mile away. And we also plan to go to Foxwood, again, another tribal casino. And I think those two casinos, you can argue the square footage and stuff, or if not one of them being the biggest casino in the United States, they're certainly in the top three or four. So at this point, what does it matter? You know, they're huge. Hopefully we can meet some other podcasters there, people that we listen to and enjoy and kid about. We never really met any of them face to face. Just listen to their work, and maybe they listen to some of ours. And some of the other people that just enjoy, you know, hitting us with comments and vice versa on Twitter or Facebook Messenger. So hopefully that they'll be there. Johnny and Monica are a little bigger gamblers than Jane and Coach Fab, but, you know, that's okay too. So we'll enjoy time with them and enjoy time, a new experience at Mohegan Sun and then Foxwood. All right, we'll see you in 2 weeks. And remember, Casinos USA is a place where every day is Saturday. And life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that's how we do it. Thank you. Bye-bye.